Neither Dean nor Michael reappeared until it was nearly time for lunch, and when they eventually arrived, it was obvious that they'd had a major falling out. Ryan could hear them arguing almost before they reached the causeway, their raised, angry voices clearly audible as they strode through the floating ville.
Why should I?
You heard what Dorothy said.
So what?
So what yourself? Just because you got one eye for a father doesn't mean you can stir it up between us.
Well, fuck you, Michael!
And fuck you too, kid!
Don't call me that!
Ryan stepped around a corner, seeing that his son and the teenager were facing each other a few feet away. Both had hands on the butts of their guns.
First person even thinks about drawing down on a friend gets thrown in the lake. What's the trouble?
Nothing.
Well, that's good. The way I heard it, I might have thought there was some problem. Since there isn't, you can both come in, wash up, and get ready to eat. All right? All right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm not sure, Dorothy.
We keep close to the edge of the lake, and then if the stickies appear, we can swim for it. You are able to swim, aren't you, Michael?
Yes, but not very far.
Of course you can. Anyway, stickies can't swim.
Who says?
Moses.
How's he know that?
You stoop. Moses knows everything. Really, everything.
Why didn't he know that the stickies were going to attack the children and chill some of them? If he knew, then he could have prevented it.
Dorothy stopped dead and let go of his arm, turning away to stare silently out over the mirrored surface of Champlain Lake. She shrugged her shoulders, easing the cord strap of the rifle she carried. For 50 beats of the heart, neither of them spoke.
It's true.
No.
Why not?
Because it's all part of the big pattern. Moses says he knows everything, but he often can't tell us because it would spoil the big pattern.
What?
Like when there was a sickness in the ville. When I was only about 10 summers old. Black water fever, Moses called it. Nearly a third of us died, wasted away, shitting black blood. Moses knew it was coming.
I heard all that when I was an oblate in the sanctuary. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Heard it. It's God's will, children. God's will that those muty bastards butchered the little ones this morning? How can you believe that, Dorothy?
Come and sit down with me. Just in among the trees.
What about stickies?
Not this close to the ville. Anyway, we'll hear them coming, won't we?
Dorothy placed one hand on his arm, the other hand on the side of his neck, leaning toward him so that Michael could catch the scent of her body. Dorothy lifted her face, her eyes closing, her soft red lips parting to show the gleam of white teeth. The late afternoon sun was sinking out over the water, sending a great slash of crimson from the western horizon. Michael kissed the young woman, feeling his instant arousal as her tongue flicked out between his lips, pushing it way past his teeth. He put his arms around her and clasped her tightly. Dorothy's right hand dropped from his arm and eased itself between them, across his stomach, feeling lower.
We should definitely go and sit down for a bit.
She wore no underclothes, and the teenager found her warm and ready for him. The moment he had wriggled out of his clothes, she cupped him in her hand and guided him into her.
Slowly, slowly.
Michael could feel her flexing the inner muscles of her body around him, sucking him deeper.
God, Dorothy, I'm going to...
No, you aren't. Not yet. Not until I'm ready as well.
Her sharp teeth nipped him on the side of the throat. She moved against him, her hips coming off the soft turf. Her arms spread above her head. There was a flurry of sound in the undergrowth, and Michael checked himself, straining to look over his shoulder. He felt himself beginning to shrink as his mind was flooded with a picture of a giant sticky grabbing him by the genitals with its rending, suckered hands.
It's okay. It's only a squirrel. Don't stop now, or I'll have to put you in one of the stand-ups.
What the...
Shh. I'll show you later. There's two close by here. Show you... later.
Michael lay flat on his back, Dorothy lying sprawled on top of him. He felt totally drained, hardly responding when she ran the tip of her tongue into the corner of his mouth. She reached for him.
Don't think I can do it again.
Maybe not now, but there's tomorrow. There's tomorrow, Michael, and tomorrow, and more tomorrows. Right now, it feels like you couldn't even raise a smile.
I did it four times in Well, it can't be anything over the hour.
You have lovely hair. Black and strong and such dark eyes. Hardly anyone around Quinley has dark eyes.
I noticed. Hey, shouldn't we be getting back to the Ville? It'll be dark soon. They'll think the Sticky's got us.
That was real nice, Michael.
Yeah, good for me too. Real good.
You had lots of women, Michael?
Lots of women? Well, I'm sure I have. Me and Ryan and the others all get our pick wherever we go. Hardly a Ville in Deathlands that I haven't got a lover.
You're cute, you know. I guess that Christy and the other woman must have had lovers as well, have they?
Sure.
I'll ask them both about it when we get back to the Ville. Be interested to hear how they talk about picking all these male lovers.
No, Dorothy, that wouldn't... We have a kind of a rule that we don't speak to others about our private life.
I believe you, Michael.
There was a cool breeze blowing, and they both felt a few spots of rain.
Dean got pissed at me for wanting to be alone with you.
Could that be trouble?
Don't think so.
Will he go tell the one-eyed man what we've been talking about?
No, don't think so.
Will he agree?
He's real bright and tough as a diamond, but he loves his father.
I can never begin to understand that. To feel great affection for someone as old as that?
Do you feel affection for me, Dorothy?
Of course. Wouldn't have done the loving with you if I didn't. Never mind, but...
How long before you get to be 25, Dorothy?
Long enough. Hey, I promised to show you the stand-ups. Two of them are just along here, unless the Stickies found them, of course.
They were within 50 yards of the top of the lake shore, set among the shadowed fringe of sturdy beech trees, two stone columns, each about 8 feet tall and less than 5 feet across.
Come on!
As they drew closer, Michael saw that there was a tiny barred window about 5 feet from the ground.
They look like tiny prisons for... Shit, a brick! There's someone in that... in both of them! My God, Dorothy, what have they done?
The old one is an outlander. He was caught 10 days ago. Tried to rape little Eleanor. She told us so.
Michael stepped nearer, peering in with a ghoulish fascination. Now he could see there was a rusted iron door with a large lock set into the front of each stone pillar.
How do they sit down?
They don't. That's why they're called stand-ups, you goose.
Who feeds them?
Nobody.
Then they die.
Eventually.
Dorothy joined him, putting her arm through his, smiling contentedly at the grizzled face that stared out through the bars. Though the light was fading, the teenager could see that the man's eyes were sunken and dulled. His mouth sagged open.
What language does he speak?
None at all. We cut out his tongue before he was locked in.
Is he tied up in there?
No, no need. Some of the time when they die and get taken out, we find they've tried to bite open their own wrists or scratched at the blood tubes in the neck.
Or the other one can talk!
Of course. It's Heinrich. He was the one you saw in the dining room last night.
The one who's nearly reached...
25, yes. Stop all that noise, Heinrich. You should have done what Moses told you. Then you could have enjoyed the passing ceremony like most of us do.
Please. Please, Dorothy. Shoot me, Dorothy. Please. Throat hurts, and I shit myself. And my knees are on fire and my ankles are breaking.
He's talking stoop, Michael. Though sometimes Moses tells us really to break their ankles before locking them in.
Please give me some water.
Not after what you did. Running away like that? It shames the whole Ville.
Something to drink. In the name of blessed Moses, Dorothy, please.
I could give him something to drink, Michael. I had 3 tumblers of water at noon meal and I'm about ready. Think he'd like it?
No! How can you be so nice to me, and at the same time be so cruel, vicious, and sick, Dorothy? It doesn't make sense.
They deserve it, both of them. If it wasn't so dark, we could make love in front of them. Think how they'd feel, all naked and locked up and helpless, watching. It'd be excellent, Michael. Part of their punishment.
No.
Michael suddenly made up his mind and drew the small revolver from its holster.
What are you doing?
Oh, please, Outlander, please do it!
Michael cocked the .38 and leveled it at the white face in the darkness behind the bars. Dorothy had her hands to her mouth.
You can't! That's blasphemy, Michael! Moses would have you locked up in there. cut off your lovely strong cock and break your fingers and your ankles and your elbows and your knees. It is death to defy him. Bloody death!
The barrel of the handgun was steady, Michael's finger tight on the trigger. Everything he knew that was right made him want to fire the gun and put the two wretches out of their prolonged agony, to show them mercy. Dorothy fell to her knees, her hands lifted as though she were praying.
I beg you, Michael. Moses will have me chilled also, honestly. Think of what we did this afternoon. Think I love you. Think of what we talked about, you and me and little Dean. All of that would be for nothing.
It's not decent, Dorothy, to treat human beings like beasts, no matter what they did or didn't do.
Dorothy pointed at the farther stone column.
He raped a little girl. And Heinrich knew the laws. He lived here all his life. He knew it. He took part when the older ones gave themselves up for the good of the vill, for all our futures. And he ran from that when it was his turn. Yellow-gutted coward.
Michael slowly lowered the gun, easing the hammer down.
All right.
But for most of the way back to the firelit safety of Quindley, Michael heard the screams behind him.
Abe?
Yeah, Trader?
Remember that time we got stuck in the middle of the freeway bridge?
Can't say I do.
Your brain's fucked, Abe. You know that?
Yeah, where was this bridge, Trader?
Somewhere in the Rockies. They only had Warwag 1, doing some dealing around the old Phantom Canyon Highway. Up toward, what the fuck was that place called? Kind of a ghost town? Had a big fire during the long winters?
Leadville?
Nah, I know Leadville. At a theater. Local Gaudy used it to put on special shows. Not that special. Limit to the combinations, ain't there, Abe?
The little ex-gunner wasn't altogether sure what his former leader meant, but he nodded enthusiastically. Their campfire was burning brightly, and Trader had used his trusty battered Armalite that afternoon to take out a small black bear. They had roasted some of the tender parts, like the tongue and paws, and were both well-filled.
You get a slot with a man with two slots, three slots or four. Seen shows in the outskirts of some of the eastern city tombs. Men with men. Turn your stomach, that kind of thing.
Yeah, never had no time for benders and ass bandits.
Me neither. What the fuck was I talking about, Abe?
Shows in Leadville.
Oh yeah, yeah. Slots with each other, like that. See them going down on each other. Give me a rock-solid boner just thinking about it, you know what I mean?
Sure do.
Like sluts and dogs. I once saw a full-grown stallion and a 300-pound breed slut up in the Shens. Marsh Folsom could have been there. Ripped her in two. Now, what was I talking about before you started on about sluts, Abe?
Some trouble we once had on a bridge.
Oh, yeah. Victor. That was the name of the bill. I remember Ryan Cotter saying he thought it was real picturesque. Yeah, that was the word. Old Ryan still use big long words like that, does he? Does he, Abe?
Sometimes.
Was I telling you about the time on the bridge, Abe? Shit, my fucking memory's getting worse and worse. You notice that, Abe? Huh?
No, I got a mind like a sieve, Trader. Words go in one ear and they fall clear out the other.
Yeah. You was always like that, Abe. Well, we was on this old freeway bridge. Some local vigilantes put up a burning barricade against us. Behind us, there were some stickies that got hold of some implode grants, and they was trying to bring the whole mess down, with us in the middle.
The event didn't ring any bells for Abe. It sounded dramatic enough for him not to have forgotten it. It obviously happened before he started riding with the War Wags.
Yeah, so what happened?
Old JB popped off a couple of frags from the Gren launcher in the rear turret of War Wag 1. Blew them stickies into a fine pink spray.
You go back?
Aw, shit, no. The day trader turns back as the day trader catches the last train for the coast. We drove on. That switch hit dyke, Hunniker, was at the controls.
Yeah, I liked Hun.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, some of the time. Not all the time. I always said that a man who gets too close to a woman might as well cut off his balls with a bayonet.
Abe smiled, though he wasn't really sure that Trader was joking about it. Far above them, plunging out of the cold infinity of space, they both saw a piece of military detritus finally tumbling from its 100-year-old orbit. It was an archaic remnant of the old totality concept of the United States, or the Eastern Bloc's equivalent, Project Zvezda, a brilliant streak of pink-purple flaring across the heavens. Trader stared up, watching it fall, and shook his head.
This used to be a good country once. I think about it in those long waking hours of the early morning. But I don't have the learning. Not like Ryan. I wonder if he's got that message we sent after him. How long did we give him? 3 months, was it?
Success. We'll stay around Seattle for 3 months. Come quick, Abe. That had been the simple message given out to every traveler and Pac-Man they could find hanging around the ruins of the once great city. Away to the west, toward the Pacific Ocean, Abe heard a rumble of thunder. The sky had been darkening even before the sun went down, promising a chem storm.
Now we best get undercover, Trader.
Yeah. Wonder if any of those messages got through to Ryan yet.
No, we sent enough. One of them will reach him, Trader. Bound to find them.
How long do we say we'd wait up here for him and JB and the others? What was it, a couple months, Abe?
3 months.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, I remember now. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time we got caught in a trap in Warwag 1 up on an old freeway bridge?
Abe kept his face blank.
Yeah, Trader. You told me about that.
All seven of the companions ate their breakfast together. Michael had come in late and gone immediately to bed, answering with monosyllabic grunts Ryan's questions as to where he'd been and what he'd done. Now, with a bright sun outside and a fresh wind from the north, he seemed in better spirits.
Had the black dog at your side last night, Michael?
Yeah, sorry. Went walking with Dorothy, and we sort of talked a lot, and I wanted to think about some of the things that she said to me.
You want to tell us about it yet?
Not yet. It needs thinking about.
Lots of skeeters in the woods, were there?
Some gnats. Why?
Just you got a real nasty bite on the side of your neck, Michael.
The teenager blushed, clapping his hand immediately to the sore-looking red mark.
Oh, yeah. I remember it was a kind of big insect.
With blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yehu arrived just as they were finishing their food, with half a dozen of the young men and women from the Ville, including Dorothy, Isaac, and Frank.
Moses wants some fresh fish for his meals for the next 2 or 3 days. He suggested that you outlanders might wish to spend a day out in the sun on Champlain Lake.
Sounds good. Anyone object?
I am notorious for not being one of the best sailors in this heathen land, but I would relish the fresh air and kick of the wheel and the song of the wind and something about a jolly fellow rover. But let it pass. Let it pass.
What kind of fish we going after?
The best. Moses won't think about eating anything that isn't perfect and cooked perfect.
How come he eats fish and tells you to only eat vegetables? I know we talked about this before, but honestly, I still don't understand.
Moses isn't like the other men and women. When one of us moves on, Moses takes on himself all the sins and imperfections of the flesh. So he also has to test himself against all evils.
What piscine treats, I'm sorry, evils does your prophet and oracle intend to have offered to him today? Delicate baby carp? Trout plucked from the bone and rolled between the thighs of young virgins? Eels smoked to mouth-watering wonder over hickory wood? Or salmon cosseted for his dining pleasure and served with a macédoine of tiny vegetables, picked at dawn and sliced by blind watchmakers until... Ah, I see that once again I have made the cardinal error of allowing my mouth to operate before I have properly engaged my brain.
Rainbow trout, mainly, from Champlain. We'll catch several and then select the best for Moses.
Lake should be well-stocked. Can't have been fished much for 100 years or so. Must be some monsters out there.
There are huge pike, bigger than a grown man.
And eels. Every year, as the greening comes to the land and the ice melts, we lose little ones to the works of the deep.
Maybe I'll stay behind here.
We'll be fine. When do we go?